Welcome to my podcast, In the Know.
My series of interviews with amazing people doing amazing things as I travel around the world of Knowtel.
My guest, Sophia Swire, is one of the most interesting personalities and adventurers that I've ever met. Well known in London circles, but having spent loads of time in some of the most remote and exciting places in the world, I had a chance to sit with Sophia on the drive from Munich to the Davos conference and learn a little bit more about her. Sophia Swire.
Hi. Okay, so, Sophia, hello and welcome
to my podcast called
In the Know. I have 10 episodes so far. And if you're a first-time listener, I'm Amal, the founder of Knowtel, but of course my guest today, Sophia Swire, who I don't know that well, and I'm just learning, and we're all going to learn a little bit. We're going to talk about my project to make this podcast, because you apparently are curious about podcasts.
Yes.
And I'm going to ask your advice, which is the main advice I seek in all my episodes here, about how to make In the Know the most important media property in the world.
So you've
got a long way to go.
You're a gentleman with modest ambition, I see.
A long time frame.
Well, I'm very impressed, and I look forward to learning more about your life. Because you're dressed like Fidel Castro, so am I allowed to interview you?
I keep getting references to South American revolutionaries.
Yeah, you're sort of
I've been called Che Guevara. I've also been called, actually, last night, Subcomandante Marcos, which is a very interesting connection to make, because now I've got all three. Subcomandante Marcos, of course, the rural farm Marxist from Yucatan, yeah.
Oh, he's Mayan.
I guess, I don't know.
Well, I should know about him because I've also spent quite a lot of time in the Yucatan. I was there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I went to stay with a shaman and his wife in the heart of the Yucatan jungle in December. That was my December adventure.
And all right, Sophia, we're going to have to learn all about you, so let's see.
But much more interestingly, I'm descended from Oliver Cromwell and Mary, Queen of Scots, and William the Conqueror, and Rollo the Viking.
Holy crap.
So I've got some interesting genetic material going on.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
You know, I've got round heads and cavaliers.
Wow. Well, Cromwell I quite admire, actually. And I guess Mary, Queen of Scots is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, the reason I've recruited you to be on this podcast is because you asked me about it. How did it work and all that? And we'll talk a bit about it. But also, from your substantial history, it sounds like, in media itself, maybe you'll have to tell me what that's about.
In the media?
Yeah, some BBC something
yes,
or other?
Yes, that was a long time ago. I had been living in Pakistan, high up on the Afghan-Pakistan border, where I had helped a local deputy commissioner set up a school for girls and boys in the English language. The school now has, I think, about 750 children, so it's been going strong all these years.
Okay.
And after spending a year in the Hindu Kush, I came back to the UK and met an extraordinarily brilliant man who happened to be the editor for South Asia for BBC World Service, the radio at the time. There was no BBC World Service television. And so he said, I could make a great radio journalist.
Is that mainly because of your accent?
No. My accent actually was an impediment for reasons that I'll tell you. No, it was because I had spent an extraordinary year and a half in a remote part of Pakistan, and on leaving Chitral, I went to work at the Pakistan Narcotic Control Board to try and eradicate some of the heroin that was flowing to the youth of Pakistan. There were 3 million addicts under the age of 30, and I got together with Pakistan's leading rock stars at the time, Nazia Hassan and her brother Zuhair Hassan, and together we set up Battle Against Narcotics at the Pakistan Narcotics Control Board. So because of my exposure to understanding about literacy challenges in rural areas of Pakistan, and then some of the challenges facing youth with regards to heroin addiction, the head of the Board of Trustees for this charity was General Aslan Beg, who was the Chief of Army Staff. Benazir Bhutto was patron, and so on. And I found myself very networked into the sort of elite of Pakistan, and became very interested in things around some of the feudalism still practiced in that area. Something
just in this compact period of 18 months or something, you become massively connected.
Yes,
you land up in London and they say, holy cow, you could be incredibly useful. going on.
Yes, that's pretty much what happened, basically, because I had access, and access is key in so many areas, and also a sort of intellectual curiosity about things, and I also had time. You know, the BBC obviously has correspondents in Islamabad, but because so much goes on politically, they didn't really have the time to go out into the rural areas and report on some of the softer news stories. So I did my first piece on literacy challenges, and my second piece on herring, and they went out, I think without much editing, without any editing, and they called me into Bush House and said, you can do this, we're going to train you up and send you back with
amazing. Like these were radio pieces?
Yeah, they were radio pieces. And when
well, so then you have the first few secrets of podcasting just at hand.
That's my point. That's
it's
why
some
I'm
people,
to,
some
to
curiosity.
Yeah.
And I guess a phone to record on.
Yeah.
Once you have that, I think you're in business, actually. But unlike the BBC, unfortunately, you have to build your own audience.
Yes.
Have you got an audience these days?
Well, I guess I've been relatively slow to social media because I was in Afghanistan for many years and it wasn't really on my radar. It was only when I got back that I realized I needed to get onto Facebook and LinkedIn and so on.
You were there from 08 to 2012?
I was there from January 2008, on and off until 2015. And when I got back, the world had moved on.
Yeah, a transformative period basically January 2008 is when the world starts hearing about Twitter and Facebook goes from 100 million towards a billion from that window. So you were just dark.
But I made up for lost time. I have 5,000 so-called friends on Facebook and about another 2,000 waiting. And I have over 8,000 on LinkedIn. But where I haven't been active, very active until recently, is Twitter and Instagram. I really just got into Instagram about a year ago.
For me, I'm still not interested in Instagram.
Really?
Yeah, but I guess these other ones are. So now that's your passion. Those are your people. Interesting people, some kind of interesting conversation on your phones, shared to that community. And if they choose to share it, then you're in business, and you're rolling. There's only one other ingredient, I guess. I mean, apart perhaps from just editing the sound and you need a little bit of whatever up front. It would be nice if you published it to the iTunes podcast store, which I'm sure you can figure out.
It's good to know about your technology because I actually upgraded to an iPhone XS last week before going on an adventure to the Arctic with a polar explorer, Norwegian polar explorer, to look at the plight of the orcas, the killer whales, and also the Arctic wolf, which is on the verge of extinction in Norway. So I wanted to equip myself in order to have broadcast-worthy footage, actually. And so at the iPhone store in London, I purchased some equipment that I'll show you later. And actually, it wasn't really fit for purpose. It was a video, because what I found was that the microphone basically knocks out the video on my iPhone. It was a sort of two-way stereo microphone.
Oh, I see,
And it was an either-or. So what I'd really need is something like this, which also enables you... Are you able to record visually as well?
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I mean, the camera on the iPhone, you sort of need some kind of tripod stabilization. The camera's okay.
I have it here in my backpack.
Oh, yeah, we'll check it out. But, you know, you were asking, hey, isn't podcasting video? Actually, I think the heart of what's happening that's really exciting with podcast publishing is audio.
Right.
All of a sudden, there's all these people creating really interesting, longer-form audio content, sometimes even fiction, like stories and things, and of course, audiobooks have been there, but there's so much new, interesting, long-form content, and it's audio.
Right.
I guess, you know, when you're going running or cooking dinner or something, driving a car.
Or on long bus journeys from Munich to Davos, for instance.
That'd be a nice time to listen to a podcast or to make one, depending on your disposition. Yeah. Okay, so now I need to start asking you some more of your advice, because I'm sure you have some wisdom, and I am on a very long journey to go from my first episode of my first interview to the most impactful media property in the world.
Yes.
Any hints for me?
Well, I mean, as I say,
how do people make great things? That's the more general question.
Well, hang on, those are two different questions, in a way. I mean, I would say, perhaps very obviously, but to carve out a unique position, to carve out a unique style, and then I guess it's all about marketing it, isn't it? It's about cross-posting and...
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that editorial strategy, because I bet you'll have some good advice for me. So part of my approach around this In the Know series is I use serendipity, so here we are.
Yeah.
And I really, I haven't told you anything about what you talk about and all that, and you've been anxious when we got started, and you made me retake it and all that. And maybe that provides some really interesting and natural conversation, some kind of direction. So let's use what I have, which is all these little gaps and moments, and just use it in real time to make things. Otherwise, it might be too slow or too infrequent and too produced.
I totally agree with you, and I'm sure it's a new trend. It will become a new trend. So, I'm sure that's the case, because, like I said last week, I was trying to equip myself to do this, and I didn't have the right technology. So that's two of us wanting to do it.
Yeah.
100% hit rate here. So I think there's going to be a huge number of people doing the same thing, and the question will be, how do you distinguish yourself from all the noise out there?
Most interesting. I mean, you could argue that quality, access to people, interesting conversation driven perhaps by the mutual curiosity, perhaps that's the editorial agenda, maybe that's something that makes it big, but then you said it's all about the marketing, and for me it's just a side project, and my aim perhaps is not receiving as much support as it will need to become the world's largest and most impactful media company and all that.
Well, you could just go and, you can go and interview Elon Musk Ms. Sandberg and all these other interesting characters, and I'm sure you'll go viral in a jiffy.
Some star hunting, yeah. I mean, I think that is one on the short list of hacks that probably the most popular podcasts use, is they get other famous people to share it and be on it and whatever. In this series, for example, I think my most listened to episode is with Amy Cuddy, who's the researcher and academic who was behind that power pose idea in the last decade. I think she has the most watched TED Talk in all history. It's like 20 million, 30 million.
What's a power pose?
Power pose is standing like Wonder Woman.
Really? I do that naturally.
Maybe because you are Wonder Woman. The idea is that you can adopt the pose and perhaps it gives you a feeling of confidence and power that's over and above what you might do by just convincing yourself.
Right.
So she's quite famous. You put her name in the podcast. I guess some people are interested in it. So that'll be part of my strategy too. I'm surprised, though, that you're not more critical of my sound setup. When I've spoken to other journalists and radio people, they want me to buy a $400 or $500 little recording machine.
Right. Well, first of all, I'm not a journalist. And secondly, since I'm new to podcasts, I don't know the technical level that is required. Mm. But you may remember that I asked our neighbors to pipe down a little earlier and explain that this was a studio.
Yeah.
So if I was totally ignorant, I suppose I might not have known to have asked them to quieten down somewhat.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, fine. Not a journalist, but you spent some time with the BBC, I guess?
Yeah.
Only a little bit?
So in those days, we had headphones, which I'm sure a professional radio journalist would tell you now was necessary to check the
levels.
Yeah. I don't know if you can do that on this. Oh, yes, you can.
I'm just eyeballing that screen, and it looks very good.
So if I were to go beep, that would kind of ruin things for you.
Yeah.
Okay, wake up, guys! Yeah, I can see. So you can actually do this from just an iPhone, which is amazing.
Almost. And then I have a colleague who helps me edit the raw, 15, 20 minutes. Adds the music in the beginning and the end.
Cool.
And maybe sometimes messes with the sound levels and things. And then we publish.
Oh, very cool.
It just takes a minute.
Very cool. Good. So am I allowed to ask you a few questions
All right, fine.
So where did you... how did you develop this fashion sense, this kind of rather unique style we have going on? Because it's kind of street style crossed with military. Some confusing cultural messaging going on.
So for the listeners, I am wearing... the thing you're noticing is I have this vintage British artillery officer's jacket.
But with some interesting badges here.
Yeah, with a bunch of badges that I added later that have nothing to do with the British military. Actually, this one is the American Infantry Division in Hawaii, and... I have some other. I don't even know. This is a bit scary, isn't it? It's like a yellow, blue, red with a big black, like an eye looking at you. Yeah, I don't know.
Just interesting.
Yeah.
It probably means you're a part of the Illuminati, and I should actually be watching out here. Huh?
Don't make jokes about that.
Yeah. Ah, rewind, delete, eh?
And then this code, actually, I'm quite proud of it that young people like it.
How about old people? They probably like it, too.
I think some of them notice it. Not everyone actually knows what it even is. It's by this label called A Bathing Ape.
Hong Kong street style?
Kind of Japanese, actually.
Japanese?
Yeah, you know the label Supreme?
Yes.
The American label Supreme from New York? That one's like a really cultish, like they'll make 5 pairs of shoes and you have to buy them in an auction or something.
Yeah.
A Bathing Ape is a brand very similar to that, created around that time, but in Tokyo. I was feeling sad one day because, well, here's what happened. For whatever reason, some coat brand decided to give me a free coat. Mm-hmm. The label is called Triple Fat Goose. They wanted people to get some pictures wearing their coat. Triple Fat Goose.
Right.
It's a band from America, which it was trendy at a certain time, and it's come back, and it's really cool. They gave me a beautiful coat. It was really nice. It's not a paid placement, but I'm genuinely appreciative. However, I made the foolish error that same day, as soon as I received the coat and put it on, of partying all night at some club somewhere and leaving my coat at my table while I was on the dance floor, as sometimes happens. And for whatever reason, this brand new coat disappeared by the time I came back to my table. So I was feeling kind of sad, because the next morning I was on a flight off to Hong Kong. Well, then I ran into this beautiful Bathing Ape store in the headquarters of a Bathing Ape, now owned by this big Hong Kong group. So that's how I got it. So two specific stories, but that doesn't explain anything, does it?
No, I mean, you've got a sort of double military message going on here, and you've also got some kind of peace, beautiful, white, tiny, micro-shell necklace going on.
So yes.
We've got peace and love and war going on, and I'm just curious to know what kind of message you're trying to give the world here with your choice of clothing, because it's all about communication, isn't it?
Yeah, I just think it's nice. I'm not trying to talk about war. But isn't it funny that men in the military dress more like women than men in any other walk of life, with all their ribbons and ropes and belts and colors and all these brass buttons and nuts and... Isn't it?
But I guess women generally don't wear tailored, felted suits and double-breasted this and that. I mean, I'm all for a bit of colour, to be honest with you, and a bit of glitz. And I think it's a great shame that men no longer dress as they did in the 17th and 18th centuries, with sort of
feathers
and silks and brocades. And,
okay. Well, then that's what I'm after. Something interesting, and where I find some interesting things I've been collecting. Okay. All right, you only get one more question.
Okay.
You get one more question to ask me.
Oh, I only have one more question?
Yeah.
Okay, well, I might need to think about it. How long have you sported a beard? And why do you have a beard? And also, why do you have that kind of beard? You better explain what kind of beard you have.
I don't know what kind. I think any. I am now known to look this way.
Okay.
So I think probably anybody listening to us would have seen some image of this beard.
So you're famous.
Not famous, but anyone who's ever heard of me probably thinks I look like this. So probably for like 5 years or 7 years or something, I've had a beard. I don't know. But it started from laziness.
Right.
And then it became fashionable, I think, other people.
Well, maybe you made it fashionable.
No, definitely not. I used to shave once a month, and now I shave my beard off once every 2 months.
Right.
So I start again, like January 1st I shaved.
Okay, cool.
There you go. Well, thank you for being on episode 11 of In the Know. Hopefully your advice will take me to great heights, but if it doesn't, it's entirely my fault, I guess, because it's all about the marketing, isn't it?
I think so.